Oh, my mama.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Bridget, and I will not be with you today. You will be hosted by Mother Valerie Bell. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely cold morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine.
Well, I am turning it over to you. May God bless you all. May God greet you all. May God guide you all. And again, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed as I do my civic duty as an election judge. So, Mother Valerie, it is all yours. Be blessed, family.
Good morning, good morning, good morning again, people of God. Lord, I thank and praise you for who you are. I thank and praise you for this day. For this is the day that you made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in. God, you did it again. You did it again, again, again. Early morning, sunrise. So beautiful, God. You did it again. And I thank you. I praise you, and I bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. God bless all your pastors. Bless Pastor Bridget today in the work that you have given her to do, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Washington, and all of your people, the people of the Most High God. We are your children. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming out of Numbers 35, 1, 36, and 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give the Levite cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possession. And you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common lands to be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all their animals. The common land of the cities, which you will give the Levites, shall extend from the wall of the city outwide 1,000 cubits all around. You should measure the outside city on the east side, 2,000 cubits, on the south side, 2,000 cubits, and on the west side, 2,000 cubits, and on the north side, 2,000 cubits. The city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as common land for the cities. Now, among the cities which you will give to the Levites, you shall appoint 6 cities of refuge to which a manslayer, that's a person that kills somebody, a manslayer, may flee. And to these you shall add 42 cities. So all the cities you will give to the Levites shall be 48. These shall give with their common land. And the cities which you shall give be from the possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you shall give many. From the smaller you shall give few. You know, God wants you to do them cubits again exactly the way he wants it done. Each shall give some of this city to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die. until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in his hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is the murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death, and when he meets him, he shall put him to death. And if he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. He's a murderer. And that word, enmity, that hates, is hate that lasts a long time. If you have hate in your heart, enmity in your heart, and it lasts a long time, he's a murderer. He shall surely be put to death. That's amazing. But, you know, that's what we do now with the death sentence. And we don't go, well, I guess it is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Because if you kill a person, especially in cold blood, they will execute you. So it's the same thing, and it started here in Numbers. It started in Numbers. It started in the Old Testament. God don't want you to take out something that he created. You have no right. You actually have no right to kill a person. But if you do, it still stands. Your life will be taken. It's amazing that it started way back then. So that he dies while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood, according to these judgments. But if the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. That means that if you kill somebody, you go to the city of refuge, but you can't come out of that city. Well, I mean, that limits you. I mean, you're not in jail, but you are limited. You have to stay in that one city, because if they find out that you come out, they can kill you. Player may return to the land of his possession. Wow. These things shall be a statute of judgment to you throughout your generation in all your dwellings. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. There it is again. So that's where that got started. Out of the mouth of two, a thing that's established, out of the mouth of one, it won't happen. But if two people state the same thing, that you kill that man on purpose, well, you're going to get the death penalty. And that's where it started. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely to death. I mean, they can't give you money. Well, I'll give you $20 million or $10,000 if you don't say anything. No, he shall surely be put to death. You shall take no ransom for him who has fled to a city of refuge, that he may return, dwell in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land. for the blood that is shed on it, itself by the blood of him who shed it. I 49:2-4 again. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit in the midst of which I dwell, for I am the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. God is so exact. He's very, very exact with what he wants you to do. That's totally amazing. Life lessons in 35:34. Therefore, do not defile the land, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. We are never to forget that our holy God lives among us. That knowledge alone should shape the way we live. We are accountable to him in every aspect of our lives, and that's the truth. God is among us. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is within us. So you have to be careful of what you're doing in this body. If you go into a liquor store to buy liquor, you're taking God into the liquor store. If you go to a house of prostitution, you're taking God there with you. So you need to really be careful of what you do in the body. We are never to forget that our holy God lives among us. And we shouldn't forget that. Chapter 36, now the chief fathers of the family of the children of Gilead, the son of Machu, the son of Manasseh, the families of the son of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the leaders of the chief fathers of the children of Israel. They said, the Lord commanded my Lord Moses to give the land as an inheritance by the lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of our brother Zophahad to his daughters. Now, if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and it will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So their inheritance will be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, saying, what the tribe of the sons of Joseph speak is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zophahad, saying, let them marry whom they think best, but they may marry only within the families of their family's father's tribe. So the inheritance of the children of Israel should not change hands from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep the inheritance of the tribe of his father. Every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be the wife of one of the family of her father's tribe, so that the children of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his father. Thus, no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep its own inheritance. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zophahad, for Mahal, Tishah, Hogah, Malchah, and Noah, the daughters of Zophahad was married to the sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the families of the children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's family. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plain of Moab by the Jordan across from the Jericho. Even in marriage, God had a certain way of keeping the inheritance in a certain family. God has certain standards, every single thing he wants us to do. And you know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Psalms 35:17-28. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies. Lord, how long will you look on? Nor let them weep with the eye who hate me without a cause, for they do not speak peace, for they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They also opened their mouth wide against me and said, eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself. Awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, and so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mute confusion, who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. All day long I will praise the Lord. Praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what we should do. When we think about God, you can say thank you. If you can't think of nothing else, you can say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise your holy name. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for another sunrise. Thank you for food in the house, a roof over my head. Thank you, Father, for shelter. God, I just praise you. I just thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. In your praises, I shall praise you all day long. Proverbs 12:3. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. He said a man is not established by wickedness. I mean, look like we should know that, but I guess sometimes we don't. Mark 15:25-47. Now, it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, that King of the Jews. With him, they also crucified two robbers, one on his right side and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. Liking among themselves, which the scribe said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, God forsaken him because God can't look on sin, and he had taken the sins of the whole world. You know, I think about, could nobody do that but Jesus? Think about, would you actually give your child to die for anybody else? I don't think I would. Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't. I only have one daughter, and you're saying, I am to sacrifice my one daughter so your daughter can live? No. And my answer would be no. I'm not going to do it. But God gave his only son. My God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on the reed, offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let him see if Elijah will come to take him down. Even when he was dying, they were cruel to him. Sponge full of sour wine. You know, that's just evil. When he said that he thirsts, he thirsts. And that's what they did. They spat in his face. He was given 39 stripes. And I wonder, even today, if somebody just come up to you and said,
yeah,
spit in your face. I know we're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I wonder what would some people do if a stranger or somebody that you know just come and spit in your face for no reason, no cause. Jesus was innocent. He was an innocent man. He didn't deserve the pain and the agony that he went through on our behalf. Because if he hadn't went through it, we could not be saved. And by his stripes, 39 stripes he withstood on his body is for the healing of the nation. We were healed by his stripes. Without that, we could not be healed. There's so many verses of healing in the Bible. But I think, I don't know if that was the first start of it, by his stripes that we are healed, but we are healed by his stripes. I mean, if you look at what he did, he hung on the cross. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land, darkness over the whole land. And like the title said, truly, truly this man, truly this man was the Son of God. That's what they're going to say, you know, when he dies. Truly he was the Son of God because he really was. Jesus is and was who he say he was. I mean, he's the Son of God. And he's coming back one day. They said, let's see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So that when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last and said, truly, truly this man was the Son of God. And he was. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Celeste, and Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and talking in carriage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and some centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he gathered the body to Joseph. He granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewed out of the rock, rolled stone across the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. That's amazing. They observed where he was laid. Life lesson, Mark 15:38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. By tearing the thick, heavy veil of the temple from top to bottom, God signified that he, through the death of his Son, had made free access to heaven to all those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Life's lesson, Mark 15:43, Joseph of Arimathea went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. To this point, Joseph had been a secret disciple, for fear that he might jeopardize his position. But when all the Lord's disciples ran, he stepped forward and made public his allegiance to Christ. That's wonderful. Life lessons, 15:34. But you know what? He believed in Jesus, but he did it in secret. He didn't want anybody to know he was a secret disciple. I mean, he feared his position, but when he stepped forward and made public his allegiance to Christ when he asked for the Lord's body, they knew, well, hey, he's a disciple too. Life lessons, Mark 15:34. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In his darkest hour, when he carried the sins of the whole world on his back, Jesus fixed his mind on the words of the scripture. Read Psalms 22 to see how God comforts him even on the cross. God is a good God. Hear you. A bold confession. Mark 15:39. The breastplate that covers his heart bore the seal of his master Caesar. He's a pride in commanding 100 elite Roman soldiers. The centurion looked at the cross and stood Virgil at death, reduced them to a mass of lifeless flesh. Yet one victim seemed unlike any the veteran soldier had ever seen. This man didn't fight as others had, nor did he beg or curse, condemn or plead for mercy. In fact, he did something that tore at the centurion's heart. Jesus, he forgave. In all his career, only Jesus had ever offered the centurion mercy. Even though he stood for everything that put Christ on that cross, Jesus forgave him. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. Turn the other cheek. Forgive your enemies. Somebody spit in your face. You're really supposed to wipe it off and keep on going. But, you know, I've never been tested that way before. And I hope that never happens to me. In that moment, he could utter only one confession, and that's the title. Truly, 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 this man was the Son of God. Mark 15:39. 2,000 years later, people still look upon Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. What is your confession about him? My confession about him is that he's coming back. What I read was the centurion, a bold confession. What he said and what the title is, truly, this man was the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And it said, what is your confession about him? He is the Son of God, and he's coming back. When he comes back, he'll be back on a white horse, and it won't be like the way he left out of here, with blood, with pain, crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Beaten 39 stripes, spit up on, spit in his face. No, it won't be that. When he comes back, he's coming back with glory. He's coming back for his children. And we are the children of the Most High God. That's why they tell you all the time, stay ready. Stay ready to meet God. Because you don't really know when he's coming back. We don't know when he's coming back. We know all we know is that he's coming back and that we have to stay ready to meet God. God is just good all the time. He's good all the time. I'm reading Life Lessons. Psalms 35:24. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. Powerfully, when we pray in line with the righteousness of God, that is, when we pray for what is right, good, glorifying to him, and beneficial for his people, the Lord delights in such prayers. Psalms 35:27. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. When things don't go well, we may think that the Lord has rejected us, but the truth is that he takes great pleasure in our prosperity and rejoices in our happiness. However, God's first priority is our spiritual well-being. He loves us, and he's always providing for us, even in the hard times. God is providing. 17:28. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lion. I'll give you thanks in great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me, who are wrongfully my enemies. They are enemies of the Most High God. And your enemies a lot of times rejoice over you. I have a welfare prayer that I like to read to start today. Like I said, the title was, Truly, Truly This Man Was the Son of God. And he was the Son of God. Even the man that pierced him in the side knew that he was the Son of God. Even today. And a lot of times people say, they don't know God. But God says, if you really and truly repent of all your sins and you want to know me, he said, even a child will know me. Everywhere I go, I see God. Even when I wake up in the morning and I get up, I see God. Because I can't wake myself up. A clock didn't wake me up. I see God everywhere I go, how I move, you know, how my limbs work, how my mouth can speak. I see God. When I look at the sunrise, and it's so beautiful. I mean, it's so, so beautiful. He did it again. I see God. I see God everywhere. When you see a bird, I see God. Trees, I see God. I see God. I see God everywhere. When I look out at the stars or look at the sky, look at anything that's beautiful that he has made. One time we had where I live, there was a deer, and then I saw two deers. And I said, well, you look at God. Look at God. A deer. And you see a great big old elephant. You see God. You see the smallest bird, and that's God. I see God everywhere, in everything. I see God in children. The miracle of birth. Have you ever thought about, I was thinking yesterday about the miracle of birth. I see God. He put a sperm and an egg together, a man and a woman together, and it creates a baby inside of her stomach. And you hear little children, where do babies come from? I see God all the time. Total miracle. That's a miracle. A baby inside of a woman's stomach, and then it comes out of the vagina, that your vagina can stretch large enough to have that that's a big baby coming out of a vagina, and then it closes up. I mean, that's a miracle. People, that's a miracle. I see God. That's a miracle. A baby, a seed, a sperm, and an egg forming a baby. God told, I knew you in the womb. God knows us in the womb. God is just a great God. I mean, those things are just, they're fantastic. They're miracles to me. And I think about how God give us food to eat. I mean, food. It goes in the mouth and have to come through the stomach and then have to come out another way. I see God. We are beautifully and wonderfully made. I see God. I mean, we have to have water. And they tell you to drink water. You can live with food, but you can't live without water. You have to have water. I see God. And, you know, and then people start saying, God is not real. God is real. But they'll say, atheists would say, God is not real. You know, there is no God. How can they not see God? They say, well, it was a big bang. Boom! And everything started. Well, how can that be? A big bang and everything started. Well, who made the big bang? I don't understand sometimes why do people want to deny God. And I can only think the reason that they want to deny God is because they don't want to obey. And obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, you know, God gives us a family. He gives us children. And we want our little children to obey, same thing he's asking. We are his little children. It's better to obey. Because if God said go to the right and you go to the left, you go to the left, you might get killed. If God said get up at what, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you don't get up, maybe the house is on fire. And then somebody will say, you know, something told me to do this and something told me to do that, a little still voice. Well, something, that something is God, because the devil is not going to ever tell you to do anything good. Something told me not to go out today, and I listened to that something. Well, that something is the quiet, still voice of the Lord. It can come over the pulpit. It can come through a little child. And I was thinking about the donkey. The other day we were reading about the donkey talking to his master. And can a donkey really talk? You know, a donkey can talk. It had to be God using the donkey to warn the man that an angel was in the road. How can a donkey talk? And the man wasn't even amazed that his donkey was talking. Donkey told him, why strike me these three times? Am I not your donkey? I thought that story was really, really a great story about the donkey talking. Now, you know that animals don't talk, but they had a movie on, Talking Animals, The Talking Horse, and all that stuff. Those are just movies, but this really happened in the Bible. That donkey was really talking for real. And things like that, when it happens, well, you know that that's God using a donkey. God can do anything. God can use anything. God can do anything but fail. He can't fail. He cannot. And to get things across to you like he did with that man, had that donkey to talk to him, that's God. I see God. I see God everywhere. I see God when Moses parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked on dry ground. I see God in the seven plagues that he told Pharaoh, let my children go so they can serve me. And Pharaoh would not humble himself. Oh, he wasn't going to do it. Who is this God that I should obey him? I see God when he sent seven plagues. The first one was blood. The last one was the death of the firstborn of the children of Egypt. The time Pharaoh said, oh, you get your children and get everybody, get away from me, get out of Egypt. But then he thought about what he had did, and he sent all of his army to go after the children. So even after the death of the first one, he still didn't want the children of Israel to leave. And then everybody got drowned in the sea. All his army got drowned in the sea. The children of Israel went over on dry ground, and they just shout and praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. You know, we need to thank God regardless. There's a song called What If? What If? What if God allows you to go through pain? What if? Look at Job. I mean, Job, he went through a lot. And he had, what, friends? He went through so much pain. So what if God allows you to go through pain? Are you going to stop praising God just because he allowed you to go through a lot of pain? He said, what if? The man said, no. Even if God, he said, God, all you got to do is say the word. You say the word, and all of this pain would go away. He said, but God, if you don't say the word, I'm still going to praise you, and it is well with my soul. He said, it is well. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. And I think about that. I think about Rita. Rita was waiting for her body to be healed. That's my sister, and she passed on the 14th. But she was waiting for her body to be healed. But, you know, what if she didn't get her healing? And she didn't. She got her healing when she didn't get it on this side of the river, but she was totally, totally healed when she went into the presence of God. I mean, when she went into his presence from that paralyzed body, she got a new body. She was jumping up, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, everybody has to do what she did. She went home to be with the Lord on the 14th of February, Love Day. God took her on Love Day. And everybody has to do what she did, go into the presence of the Lord. If you are a child of the King, you will go into the presence of the Lord. He's going to go some to the right and some to the left. But I want to go into the presence of the Lord, and I want to hear him say, well done. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear the Lord say. I mean, I'm living my life every day. I'm 80 years old, and nobody knows how long they have to live, but I'm living my life for the Lord. It said, this day, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there's nobody else in my house. So as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, I need strength. God said he would be with the old people even when they get gray hair. So I need the joy of the Lord. I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't have any power of my own. I don't. I really don't. And I know that. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. I don't have no power of my own. Each step that I take, I'm asking Jesus to help me, to give me strength, to allow me to have this 24 hours. And before I go to bed, I thank him. I thank God. Because there's no other God in the heaven. And God is a jealous God. You don't want to, you know what, they made that calf. And Aaron said, well, he put the gold together. And then he talked about, well, the calf just came out. No, he shaped that calf because of the people. But God don't want you worshiping idols. He really don't. God was a jealous God. And he make his wishes known to his children. 14 cubits, 30 cubits, 5 cubits. He gives you the word, and he tells you precisely what he wants done. He's a very precise God, and he's a jealous God. And you know what? We're made in the image of God. God gets angry. When he gets angry, you don't want to be around when God gets angry, because he does. He gets angry. And like those people, when they said, the man on the Sabbath day, he said, keep the Sabbath holy. Do this and keep that Sabbath holy. But the man, he didn't keep the Sabbath holy. He decided, well, you know, I'm going to pick up some sticks. He lost his life just because he was picking up sticks. But he knew what God had commanded, keep the Sabbath holy. And he was out doing something on the Sabbath. And just because you're picking up sticks, you're going to lose your life. Well, that happens. Like I said, God is precise. He tells you to do something. He gives you warning after warning. And God is compassionate. God is loving. God is kind. God is a real good God. You know, I gave Pastor Bridget a birthday card, and it said, daughter, you remind me of somebody, because she's loving, she's kind, she's generous, she's compassionate. And I told her, daughter, you remind me of somebody. And I told her, you remind me of Jesus, because she has the fruit of the Spirit. She's loving, she's generous, she's kind, she's compassionate. She goes a long ways with you. And then she's the pastor of the children at the Table of Life Ministries. Mark something. Anyway, she's the pastor. Sometimes I forget the address of the church, but she's the pastor there. And you know what? The children love her. I mean, me, myself, and I, I couldn't take care of children. I couldn't do it, not me. No, I couldn't do that. But she does. She takes care of all of the children, and she teaches them, and they're, boy, do they learn. Not only do she teach them, but I went to one of the choir rehearsals that she had, and the children, I mean, she teaches those children to sing, and they sing so beautifully. It's a really wonderful thing listening to the children sing. They do such a lovely, lovely, beautiful job. And, you know, that takes a lot of time and patience teaching children. She does that. And like I say, she does a beautiful, beautiful job of teaching the children how to sing. That's really wonderful that she can do that. A lot of people can't do that. They just can't. I know I couldn't work with children. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't work with children. That's for a person that can work with children. But I can't do it. Table Life Ministries, we are 2600 South 5th Street. That's where we are. Our telephone number is 217-720-5100. Table of Life Ministries. That's where we are. And she takes care of those children. Like I said again, I couldn't do it. But God is good. He's good all the time. I have a welfare prayer to start the day. And I'm going to do this welfare prayer. It said, Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus Christ and claim the protection of the blood for my family. You know, a lot of times you hear people say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, we do. We plead the blood of Jesus for the protection of our family, my finances, my home, my spirit, soul, and body. I surrender myself completely. I surrender myself completely. I surrender myself completely in every area of my life to you. I take a stand against all the workings of the devil that would try and hinder me and my family from best serving you. I address myself only to the true and living God who has all power and control over everything. Satan, I command you and all your demon forces in darkness in the name of Jesus Christ to leave my presence. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ between the devil and my family, my finances, my spirit, my soul, my body. I declare, therefore, that Satan and his wicked spirits are subject to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, in my own life today, I destroy and tear down all the strongholds. I tear them down. All the strongholds of Satan and smash the plan of Satan that has been formed against my family and me. I tear down all the strongholds of the devil against my mind. I surrender my mind to you. Blessed Holy Spirit, I affirm, Heavenly Father, that you have not given me, you've been giving me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, I resist the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and refuse to doubt, refuse to worry, because I have authority, I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can hurt me. I claim complete and absolute victory over the forces of darkness in the name of Jesus, and I bind the devil, command him to loose, and every member of my family for the glory of God, and by faith, I call it done. I break and smash the strongholds of Satan formed against my emotions today and give my emotions to Lord Jesus. I destroy the strongholds of Satan against my body today. I give my body to you, Lord Jesus, realizing that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that the Holy Ghost will bring all the works of the crucifixion, all the works of the resurrection, all the works of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into my life today. I surrender my life and possessions to you, Lord Jesus. I refuse to worry. I refuse to fear. or to be discouraged in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not hate, envy, or show any type of bitterness toward my brothers and sisters or my enemies, but will love them with the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Open my eyes and show me the areas of my life that do not please you, and give me strength, grace, wisdom, and knowledge to remove any sin or weight that prevents our close relationship. Work in me to cleanse me from all ground that would give the devil a foothold against me. I claim in every way the victory of the cross over all satanic forces in my life. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving, and I welcome all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a welfare prayer to start a war. I'm sorry, a warfare prayer to start the day. And that's what Pastor Jesse has given me, this warfare prayer. It's a beautiful way to start your day. You plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus before you go out today. And then bless your house. And like I say, the title was truly, this man was the Son of God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is good all the time.
Good morning. Good morning again. I'll only be here for just a second to give a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And thank you all for joining Mother Valerie and myself. And the word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. No matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. Have a triumphant Tuesday. And we like to say, don't let anybody knock you out of your square today. For you are a child of God and you are blessed beyond measure. And as I turn it back over to Mother Valerie, I pray for you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Stay safe, stay warm, stay prayed up, for God is in charge. And again, we know who that man was. Mother Valerie, I know a man, and his name is Jesus. That truly this man was the Son of God. Mother Valerie, I turn it back over to you. Wrap us up.
Amen. Amen. You know, God is just good. I think about the different things that God tells us in his word, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, there were a lot of things that happened on the crucifixion day when Jesus died. I mean, the veil was torn in two. It became dark. They say that it was sort of like an earth door shaking. There's so many things that happened. And he had to say, truly, 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 truly. Even the centurion that stuck him in the side, he said, truly, truly, this man was the Son of God. Because when Jesus was dying, you know what he said? I mean, who, you're killing me. You're killing me. And I'm saying, Father, Father, forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He didn't curse. He didn't plead for them to stop. He just accepted what was going on and asked God, Father, Father, would you forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. You know, if somebody is hurting you and stabbing you, and sped up on you and whooped you 39 times, gave you 39 stripes, and you're going to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Truly, this man was the Son of God, and he was the Son of God. He really was. We know that. This happened over 2,000 years ago, and right now, there are 250 billion Christians in the world that believe, or believers, that we believe, that we believe God's word. We believe that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and went back to heaven. We are believers. If somebody come against the word of God, I won't, you know, you can't make me believe anything but what he has said. God has said truly, this man was the Son of God. We are believers. And we have so many brothers and sisters. I don't care where you go. You can go to California. You can go to Paris, Germany. You can go all over. And you're going to find, likewise, people that are believers. We are believers. And he said, go and make disciples of all men. Make a disciple of all men. Teach them. Tell them. And they can either choose to do it. God don't force himself on nobody. You can either choose to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, or you don't have to be. You can choose this day whom you will serve. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve him until the day I die. God is a wonderful God. And he's just. He's a just God. I mean, if you like the lesson today, cubits, and if you kill a person, you have to be careful. You kill a person, they're going to take your life, even in this day and age. An eye for an eye. And it is an eye for an eye. I mean, they're going to put you in an electric chair. They're going to take your life. So you can't just go around and do anything that you want to do and shoot people and kill people. No, over bad. It's just a choice that you make. And choosing good over bad make you feel good. And then, like a lot of times, when you do things like enmity, that's hatred. The word enmity was hate. You're hating a person that lasts a long time. Well, that hate, a lot of times people don't know that you hate them. They don't even know about your hate. And that hate only hurts you. We got about 2 more minutes. So God is good. May the Lord watch over us while we're absent one from another. And may God be with everybody. And you know what? Have a blessed day. And we thank and praise you, Father, for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We give you honor. We say hallelujah. We thank you. And thank God for being who he is. God is a good God all the time. And you know what, people? It's a wrap. Pastor Bridget, it's a wrap. It is a wrap. It's a wrap. Thank you, Father. If anybody want to say anything, now will be the time. You got about 1 minute. 1 minute. There's nobody saying anything? All right. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wrap.